Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the Woodstock City Podcast. Really excited about today's episode because we are celebrating Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And so I invited two of my favorite mothers to join us for a special conversation about all things motherhood. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves real quick?
Sure. I'm Julie. I am Sammer's wife.
What's up?
We have four daughters. Harper is 6. Samantha's 5. Zara is 3. And Layla is about to be 1, which Crazy. We are unwell.
We are not ready for that. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. Amanda?
Hey, guys. I'm Amanda, married to my wonderful husband, Matt. We have 2 kids, Emery, who's 7, and Brooks is 5. And I am a working mom. Mm-hmm. I work and I teach at KSU. So go Owls.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Thank you all for being here. Yeah. Really grateful. Julie, you don't love doing like, you don't like speaking from stage
stuff
and all
in
that,
a microphone.
But you're
no.
so good at this. So thanks for saying yes.
Thanks.
Amanda, you speak for a living.
I do.
But thanks for jumping in. And just so you guys know, so Amanda is a dear friend of ours. Mm-hmm. We're in a community group together. She goes to church here. And some of our best friends. And I just, as Julie and I were talking about this podcast, and Matt and I work out together every morning.
Yeah. Shout out,
Matt. Yeah, let's go, Matt. What up? Vitality Fitness. But as Julie and I were talking about this podcast, we thought, hey, who is someone that we can bring in that we do life with? And so we're going to talk about motherhood needing a village. But I just thought it would be cool for we talk a lot about big church made small around here. That's my hope. This is a big church, but I don't want it to feel small relationally. And so I wanted to bring somebody, and we would bring somebody in that we do life with, that we love, that our kids know, that that's a part of our village.
Truly part of our village.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, she's the one who came over to watch our 3 older kids when I went into labor.
That's right.
With Layla.
That's right, because my mom was going to come over.
Yep.
But it happened quicker than we thought. So mom was coming over at a certain
time.
Yeah, real
Classic
quick.
Just in a hurry.
You sent out a text to all the women in our small group, and Amanda's like, I'll be there in 3 minutes.
Yeah. She just happened to be in the area.
It's very serendipitous.
Oh,
I had just dropped off Emory at school. Brooks was already done with school.
Summer.
He's in preschool. And so we were, I think, maybe 3, not even probably 3 minutes from your house.
Yeah.
And so we're able to get there really quickly.
A panicked text message because your mom, you know, was doing her best to get there on time, but she's also Middle Eastern.
Yeah, our concept of time.
I was a little nervous about the timing.
I get it.
Yeah, I was traumatized after our 3rd.
I get it. Yeah, that was crazy. And then Amanda just
hung out. Marie and I are best friends now. Shout out, Marie. I love you. We spent the day together.
That's incredible. And so here we are. So here's what today, I'm just our hope. If you are a mom, I hope you're encouraged today. Hope you feel seen. And obviously I'm biased, but I think you guys have a lot of great stuff to share. So, I think there'll be some cool stuff to learn depending on what season that you're in. If you are a guy listening, this will be, keep listening. Okay. Because I'm just telling you, and I'm speaking here too. I'm with you. Like, I think listening to this conversation, to be able to get into the mind of, the moms in our lives, I think it'll grow our empathy. It will grow our compassion and our understanding. So whether you're a husband, a brother, you know, whether you're a son, I think there'll be a lot you can glean here. And if you're a woman listening and motherhood doesn't look the way that you want it to look right now, or maybe you're an aunt or a grandmother, an empty nester, and you're trying to figure out what that looks like for you now, I'm really excited about you guys sharing the unique role that you guys have in the body of Christ. So no matter who you are, I'm confident that today will be a helpful, encouraging, and productive conversation. So let's jump in. Before we got a few questions here, but before we do that, any just fun, like, I don't know, mom fail moments, maybe not even mom fail, pair, I don't know, just anything that comes to mind that's like a,
epic
funny failure or just a funny moment.
You want to talk about Harper's epic blowout of 2019?
Oh my goodness.
Our oldest was about 7 months old. I was driving to our house from my parents' house. It was about a 30-minute drive. Harper was in the car seat, obviously. And I remember I was on the phone with Sammer. I don't know why you weren't with me or why we were talking on the phone.
I was at work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I was just talking to you about my day or something, and I remember starting to smell something in the car, and it was a small car, so I was like, okay, I guess Harper filled her diaper. And I remember saying to you, like, it's starting to get really smelly in the car, but like, I'll get home and I'll change her diaper. Like, obviously she pooped. But then it just smelled worse and worse and worse. And I couldn't figure out why it would just like smell worse and worse. So finally, I was just like, I don't think I can take this smell anymore. I'm just going to pull over.
And we're still on the phone.
Yeah. So I pulled over into like a Walmart parking lot and was like, I'll just change her real quick in the car. And I pulled over and I went around, opened the door and looked in. And I remember, and you can attest to this, on the phone with you, I went, oh, blank, 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 blank. It's everywhere. It's all over her. It's in her mouth.
And then you hang up.
And I hang up. Well, I have a situation to deal with. So I hung up and I just tossed the phone on the floorboard and proceeded to like, well, I picked up my phone, took a picture
first.
I
had to take a picture.
I needed it for posterity. And then just went to town with the baby wipes.
Bad.
But you were like freaking out. You were trying to call me back. You're like, is she eating her feces? Do we need to call
poison control?
I googled
what happens when your kid eats their poop. Biz ever, it was just, the blot was so bad.
Gotten out of her diaper.
And then she, you know,
she had,
yeah.
She was
textured.
She's
yeah. grabbing it with her hands.
Very
a lot of movement, yeah.
It was everywhere.
Babies are very, like, interested in their face and mouth. So yeah. It was just kind of around her lips.
It happens quickly,
it was
too.
So bad.
Happened
cleaning
very
the car
quickly.
Seat yeah. that day when I got home was something.
Well,
it was just
hose. I would buy new.
Having to clean up this child with only baby wipes. I'm, like, wiping, getting her undressed, wiping her, and then scooping it out of the car seat. And
it was bad.
It was a...
We got to dig up that picture, actually.
Situation. No, I could find it easily, but the people don't want to see it.
No,
it's
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
That was funny.
But,
That was a good one. Amanda, you got anything?
Yeah, I am thinking about when Emery was maybe just over a year and a half-ish when we were living in Florida. We were at our old church, and we were doing some kind of outdoor event, and she was a classic 1.5-year-old having a massive meltdown, mm-hmm. right? And we had a lot of people around us, and people were just moving. And so I said, you know, she can go take a minute. And so she just stomped herself over. There's a tree between, like, the building and where we were standing. So she just plopped herself down at the base. And I had my eye on her. And then she just started screaming. And she, in her little diaper, and, you know, onesie, has sat down in a giant ant pile. And I thought, you know, I thought the screaming, the right. It was part of the meltdown.
Yeah.
And so I just went over there maybe a little too slowly. We just had to run into the bathroom and just strip her down and just try and get it all off.
Poor baby.
Really quickly.
Can't fight songs.
Yeah, just, yeah, exactly. Lovely. It was the worst.
Yeah.
You're like, all right. I guess that's
the
that.
Joys of parenting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. All right, so let's jump in here. First question. Speaking of the joys of parenting, what would you say surprised you the most about becoming a mom?
Yeah. I feel like we're both similar in that we both always wanted to be moms, but you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm. So I feel like the biggest thing for me probably was just like how profoundly it changed me. Like I feel like on like a cellular level, it just completely turned my whole life upside down in good ways and bad, but it right-sized my priorities. It changed how I think about things. It awakened an instinct in me that I didn't know was there. I mean, it just, it changed everything.
Yeah. Mm. I think, you know, and we've said this, growing up, I always wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. We babysat, you know, you had kids around. And you dream of this day, and then it is kind of jarring how hard it is. Even if you feel like you have been born for this job, that's very hard. And in a lot of, like, very primal ways. It's not just logistics of parenting, which, you know, is its own thing. But I think just how difficult it can be because it's so complex. It's not babysitting, you know, it is not loving on, you know, this kid that you see once a week for an hour while their parents are on a date. The emotions and the physical changes and the mental changes that come with it, and then you've got this person that you love more than you could ever even believe. All of that is beautiful, and it's how God designed it, and it's so hard. And so I think it was just a shock to the system that I wasn't prepared for.
And let me take a look, like, how did that change with each kid that got added to the family? Was it just, I know what to expect now, or that also then just began to change you in
different ways?
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't think the change felt as raw and profound with each additional child because I felt so much more confident as a mother.
Right.
But I will say with every child, it changed our family dynamic.
Yes.
And so I feel like leading up to the birth of each of our kids, I think we both would feel just that emotion of like mourning what is.
Right.
Knowing it's about to change forever.
I cried.
Yeah. We both did.
And you would always have a sense of, I think I'm going into labor tomorrow. Yeah. I would always be like, hey, babe, I need a heads up.
Yeah.
Because I need
you to let me know.
Just let me know how we're feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would like when, and almost every time you'd be like, I think it's tomorrow. And I'm pretty sure you got it right every time. And I would be like, I'm not ready. Because you're so excited. But yeah, mourning. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, mourning your family as it is now.
Yeah.
Even though you're looking forward to
Even though there's joy coming. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's always interesting talking to moms, like what was the hardest transition, right? Mm-hmm. 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 3 to 4 for you guys. You can keep going. I think 0 to 1 was very hard for us.
Yeah.
And then 1 to 2 was much more, we were already there. It was almost like you ripped the Band-Aid off and this you know, new tissue is forming. And so it's something that you are used to. It's no less intense. It's no less emotional or loving. But I think the shock of it is different.
Yeah.
With
you know a little bit more of what you're walking into.
For sure. Yeah.
It is wild. Any parent will feel this. That they send you home with the kid.
Yeah. Immediately.
That 0 to 1.
It's wild.
It's so intense. Do you remember when we came home with Harper and I was like, what have we done?
Yeah.
I said the same thing.
I couldn't figure out how to swaddle her the way that they did with the blanket.
That first night was so bad.
Oh, it was so bad. I went to Bye Bye Baby at the time. R.I.P. They're R.I.P. out of business.
Bye Bye Baby.
And I bought every swaddle they had.
Which are all different.
Yes,
which is kind of shocking. There's no general, just one.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Okay. So if you could go back then and tell yourself something, like what, if you can go back, what do you... go back and tell yourself something when you first became a mom. Mm. What would you tell yourself? What do you wish you knew? What do you go back in time? And
I think just thinking about those early days, there are a lot of really big feelings that, you know, you'll experience that you've just never felt before. You've never had the capacity to feel those things. It's not something you've ever had the opportunity to feel. And I think I just keep using the word primal. It just feels so biological where you're just like, this is an intense feeling. And I think that will never leave. I think that there will always be some level of protection and just like need to be near them and keep them safe. And those are scary. We live in a very big world that is hard to raise kids in sometimes, and it feels very scary often. And so I think it's saying to that mom, right, when I'm freshly a mom, it will be okay. These feel big. And there are generations of women who have felt these big feelings forever. You are not alone. Yeah. And it's okay to say that these are maybe feeling too big, right? Or I don't know what to do with this feeling.
Yeah.
This is so intense. And so just knowing that it's okay and that, you know, I think on some level God designed that way, right? Like this – that God designed that intense love for our child and this biological right component of needing to keep our kids safe. So we're so obsessed with them. And so just remembering that there are people, there are women who have done this forever. And to share that, right?
Yeah.
And to say, I'm feeling these things, you know, you don't have to, because you hear about motherhood and you have a picture in your head of motherhood that is often wrong, or at least very different.
Yeah.
And so I think you might think that there is something that is amiss, and it's not. It's just something that you can't have ever prepared to feel.
I think what I would go back and tell myself is, like, things will come in seasons. You'll lose yourself in motherhood and then find yourself again, and you do that over and over again.
Huh.
And that's okay. Like, there have definitely been seasons as a mom, depending on what's going on in our family, how old our kids are at the time, where I'm at emotionally, where I'm like hibernating and where I like feel like I never come up for air to like see friends or be a part of the world. And then other times when I feel like I'm out and about and I'm in community and I'm pursuing hobbies and I'm reading a book or something, you know, but that's okay. Like, there's a season for everything, and you'll find yourself again. And it's okay when you're in those seasons where you feel like you've kind of lost yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so that's actually a great segue into the next question is, there are certainly, there's difficult seasons in parenting, mm-hmm. but especially in motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you navigate the hard days?
Yeah.
And hard days look differently for every mom depending on their situation.
Season.
Yeah. Their season, what their kids are going through, what they're not going mm-hmm. through. At home, working, whatever, but kind of each of you, how do you navigate the hard days?
Let me just flip my page of my notebook really quick.
You know what? I got to acknowledge this. I love that you, babe, I love that you brought a notebook.
Harper's homework notebook with all my notes.
I offered her an iPad and she was like, no,
I'm
old school. So
old school.
I love that. It's like the five-star med, whatever.
Five-star subject.
Yes. So
that's
okay,
amazing.
I'm good. I'm flipped.
Yep. Great job. Okay, so how do you navigate the hard days?
Hard days. Yeah. It's going to sound cliche, but really I think a big piece of it is surrender. Like you have to surrender to the Lord and you have to surrender and trust your children to the Lord. Because, I mean, this piggybacks off of what you were just saying. Like motherhood, the existential weight of it is like too heavy to carry. If you think about it for too long, it will crush you.
Yeah.
And you'll feel like you can't go on without being tethered to someone, your Heavenly Father. And I think that tether, that anchor is what like can keep you going in the midst of just how tender and raw and vulnerable motherhood feels when the people you love the most are just like running around in this world. And, you know, it can just feel very overwhelming. And so I think just dependence on God and trusting your children to Him, knowing, even though it's hard to fathom, that God loves your kids more than you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't even imagine it, but I know it's true because I know that we serve a good God. And so I know He loves them and cares for them.
Mm.
And so I think, that's just
good.
That
surrender.
Dependence, surrender.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Super hard.
It's the hardest, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, we can sometimes make our kids or our ability, our ability to control or to keep them safe and secure, we like idolize it because we think.
Mm. 100%. That's good.
Yeah. We think we have it and it's until you, we don't have it.
Right.
You know,
it was never in our control.
It was never in our control.
Like
it never has been.
There's so much that you do have influence over that you forget how much control you ultimately don't have.
And then what happens when a situation comes up with your children where you don't have any control?
Yeah.
Like then what? Like you have to realize that there's a God who loves and cares for your kids and has good plans for them. But that's a hard piece.
That's a good way, Amanda.
I think there's a few ways to look at hard days, right? I think there's, I love how you say existential weight. Mm-hmm. Like that's perfect. I get that tattooed on my arm. but I think there's that. Those are hard days.
Yeah.
There's hard days with just the season you're in, right?
Yeah.
It's chaos, it's busy, it's whatever. And then there's hard days because I have messed up as a mom.
Mm.
And I'm an Enneagram 1. I love right and wrong.
You would never know.
Surprise. And so to me, when I mess up, that's really hard.
Mm.
I remember, you know, we lived in Florida and then we moved here in 2021. And that was such a hard transition for me personally and emotionally and mentally. It was just really bad. It was a really rough season, probably the hardest in our lives. And I just did not do well. I was not healthy. I wasn't well during that time. And I'm at home with two small kids. They're like, I think 3 and 1 at the time. And I am just losing my mind. And Emery, our oldest, is very sensitive to the world around her. We're very similar. And so she was also having a really hard time with this new transition and change. And I think in obviously a wonderful, perfect world, I would have come to meet her where she was at. Instead, neither of us could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember a day where we're sitting in the playroom and we're both losing it. And I am just screaming at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I to the day I die, I will never forget this. It will stay with me forever because I'm so hurt by how this played out. And I wish it would have been different. And if I could go back and change it, I wouldn't. We are not given that gift as humans. Like, that's not something that we get to do. And so when that happens, there's nothing I can do to go change that, right? to handle that, though, and not stay with that and just feel guilty for the rest of my life, I have to value the chance that we get to repair that, to demonstrate repair, mm-hmm. to rebuild our relationship and, you know, help her remember that I am a safe person and show that over and over and over and over and over again. You know, hopefully she doesn't remember it, but maybe she does. Right. But I will forever. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, those are some of the harder days for me is when I kind of mess up.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And let me encourage you. We don't get the gift to be able to go back, but what's awesome, especially when our kids are young, you do get the gift of they are the most gracious humans on the planet.
Thank God.
Yeah. They're so forgiving. Like, and Emery, we know her well. Mm-hmm. Julie and I, we love her. And she no doubt has already forgiven you. And so not only do we get that, you get the gift of I'm going to learn from mm-hmm. that.
Yes. And learn from her, right? Yeah, like, I get to demonstrate repair and that's this skill that I think a lot of us are lacking in. But she gets to teach me too, right? Yep. Grace and forgiveness. Yeah. And
she will learn grace and forgiveness through the way that, honestly, in some ways, I mean, she probably doesn't remember it, but she'll remember other ones, right? And she will learn grace and forgiveness in the way that you model repair and asking for forgiveness and all that. And and again, they're so gracious. It makes it more guilty. I'm like, I actually need you to not like me for a little bit.
Truly, please,
you
just give me like, I need a punishment. For longer. Can like, you send me to timeout? Yes. Punish me. Yes.
So that's really good. Okay. Let me ask this, just kind of switch gears a little bit to you're navigating hard days, whether it's just the existential weight of being a mom or the hard days that because of you're not able to live up to the mom that you wanted to be in those certain moments. Mm-hmm. We all need support. Yes. We all need a village. So in what ways have you been encouraged or supported by other moms?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both feel very much like our community group plays a huge role in that. I just think community in general, having a village, having other moms around you who are like, yeah, me too. I've been there, I've been through that. I feel like you can speak to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we all come into motherhood having experienced mothering in different ways, and that looks different for all of us and our stories and our backgrounds. And so, I think in the ways that we were mothered, right? And that looks differently. And sometimes we're bringing stuff into our own experiences of motherhood. And I think one of the sweetest blessings that I get from our village is that I get to be mothered by them. Hmm. I don't just have to mother, but I get mothers around me who can mother me. And I think that's something that is so beautiful, and I love my husband and he's wonderful. It is not a skill that he has. Mm-hmm. And so for people like Julie who can see things in me and say and speak into that and be a mother to me is so beautiful. And I think this is why, you know, the body of Christ is so beautiful, because you don't have to be a mom to do that. Like you don't have to be a mom to be mothering to someone and to play that role in their life. It is so valuable and special.
Really good.
Yeah. And so I get that in ways that then influences my own mothering, you know? Yeah. I think sometimes I look around and observe different people and how they mother, and I'm like, tell me more. Like, how, you know, I've got a friend who's got two kids in high school, and they just all seem really close. I'm like, how?
How did you do it?
How'd you do that? Can I see? Can I watch?
Right,
you know,
right,
what kind of conversations do you have? What do you do at night? You know? And so I think that's just really cool to be able to have access to that. I know, because we've been in a season before, and I know y'all have too, right, where we didn't have that village. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's listening that is like, well, that's nice, you have a village,
right?
We didn't. And I know the prayers between the four of, you know, there were many, and they were frequent, to pray for community in a village. And it took time.
You have to cultivate it.
You have to cultivate it.
Take steps towards it. I mean,
be intentional about it.
Yeah. I think about the first time we met.
Totally.
I just announced as lead pastor.
Yeah.
And it was, hey, Samer will be out.
We had just moved here also, a month before.
Samer and Julie will be out in the rotunda if you want to come say hi. And I remember Matt. I'll never let him live this way. He was like, I don't want to go wait in line to meet him.
Amanda was like, we're going to go
meet the pastor.
Well, because you guys were on stage.
Yeah.
You had small kids like us.
Yep.
You seemed normal.
Yeah. And they were running around on stage.
And I was like, oh, we should go introduce ourselves and just say hi. And I was like, I don't think so. And I'm like, I feel like we probably should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here we are. I mean, yeah. like, such yeah. a simple thing. And I think that would be the thing, too, right? Pray, we all prayed for a community. Right. Pray for the boldness, right? Pray mm-hmm. to, like, it won't probably fall in your lap.
Right,
and
it won't.
So
yeah.
pray to be bold
yep.
and to say, like, I'll have to walk towards this
right,
sometimes.
Right.
It may make me yep. uncomfortable, like right. it did Matt, which we'll yeah. all, again always
never let him live it down.
He just got to float into this. Yeah. but yeah. yeah, I think and that,
I'm glad y'all, because obviously I'm the pastor of this church, so of course I always say plug into community. Yeah. But I talk about our small group a lot because I just want our church to know I'm not asking them to step in anything that I'm not stepping into and being right, changed right. by myself. Mm-hmm. And so for y'all to hear about, and I get to see firsthand mm-hmm. the community between the five moms in our small group
yeah.
And the life, whether it's via text, whether it's showing up, whether it's just Sunday fun day, we're hanging out in the backyard and just having fun and enjoying mm-hmm. the life, whatever. I get to see that. And so I love that you guys, I mean, you have to, sometimes it's taking a step to jump into a small group and cultivate it and see what happens and see where it goes. And so you're right. If you're listening and it's like, well, I don't have that. Well,
new
no offense,
me.
But there was a season we did it.
We prayed and, for years before we found this small group.
And it's,
really been life changing.
I mean, it's been what, I think 3 years
now. 3 years.
And you know, there, we, to go from like, literally not knowing each other, and we knew no one here.
Right.
And now you're our kids' emergency contact at school. You know, so like it takes time, but you have to.
But it's worth it.
Move forward.
It's worth it.
So
and
worth
even
it.
I would even encourage anyone listening who's in a community group, but you're not really feeling that closeness maybe with your community group. Like that takes intentionality as well, cultivating 100%. The friendships within the group, and even maybe it takes one person. You know, reaching out and being like, hey, do you want to hang out outside of group and like just get to know each other a little bit better? Or even, I'm really struggling with XYZ with my kids. Have you ever struggled with that too?
Right. Yeah,
you know,
good.
Just like asking the vulnerable question of like, I'm struggling. I need support. Do you have any experience with this?
Yeah.
You know?
And it can just, it can be a text.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I text the girls all the time when I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
And I need advice. I don't know.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do.
Yeah. You have to have that outlet as a mom, because I think Amanda touched on this. Like, your spouse is great, but there are just some things as a mother that your partner just isn't going to understand. Because on like that primal, visceral, deep in your gut.
Right.
You know, way. And even the other night, I didn't even tell you this. I like sat up. I like could not stop crying because I'm so sad about Layla.
Oh, I was like being one. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so, not going to cry. I didn't reach out to someone in group, but I reached out to our friend Jen McGee.
Yeah.
And just texted her the next morning and was like, is this normal? Hmm. And she's like, yes, okay, good. This
cry.
Is awful.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
But so just to have, because I almost woke you up and I was like, first of all, he's like fast asleep because you're a magic sleeper. Second of all, I was like, he's just, I know you're sad about her turning one, but you're not going to get it on that deep level.
Yeah.
So.
Aw.
Yeah.
I'm about to cry.
Don't cry.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's fine.
Just go get her. You just need to leave her.
Yeah, I said, she's down the hall.
Get her and bring her in.
And can I, and also like, we were talking earlier about actually Heather, who is on staff here with Sox City.
And is currently, she's currently watching
all of
all
our kids.
Six of our kids.
Another mom. Another sweet blessing in our life and to our life. And she says all the time, she loves hanging out with our kids, being around our family. Yeah. Because she's
like
in a different season.
Mom.
But yeah, like a church mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful.
Yes. I think about my great aunt. She never had kids. And the role that she plays in our kids' life is so uniquely mothering, and that they will remember that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
That the way that she has poured into them, the way that she has prayed for them, that is a specific role.
It is. You're 100% right. Our kids. That is actually it's a hope that I didn't know I wanted for my kids. That I want my kids.
Now we're so grateful.
I want my kids to grow up knowing Miss Amanda.
That's right.
Knowing Miss Heather. Feeling loved by them, knowing that there's going to be a season when they're going to want to maybe go to them before they
instead
come to us.
That's right, yeah.
So it's something I didn't even know that. So again, as a mom, if you're listening and you're like, maybe you find yourself in a different season or, I mean, there is so much opportunity, maybe more around you than you realize.
I definitely agree with that.
You know, leaning into that motherly instinct and gift that you have.
And I think on Mother's Day, we should all think through who are the women in my life that I need to call or text today and say, happy Mother's Day to you, you know,
really good.
Aunt.
Yeah.
So-and-so, or, yeah. you know, your best friend who's like an aunt to your kids.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
All the women really that good. Mother your children.
And yeah. mother us. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And like, mother you.
Say,
yeah.
like, thank
yeah.
you for yeah. mothering me
100%.
When I need it. Yeah.
I am grateful for all the moms in our lives, all the moms in our small
yeah.
group
yeah.
that our kids are going to grow up really not knowing them.
That's right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple more questions here. What do you think about your kids? Our kids. What is your hope for your kids when they grow up? And you can take grow up to be whatever age you want to make that.
Never. Anyway, next question.
Yeah. Moving on.
All right. So
you start, Amanda.
Question,
yeah,
sure.
yeah. So I think when we were pregnant.
Yeah.
We were pregnant.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
it was definitely me. It was definitely
me.
We prayed three specific things over her. That she would have self-confidence, self-worth, and self-control. We felt like
good.
That was a pretty good package
yeah,
deal.
It's really good.
So those were kind of what we prayed and continue to pray over her. I think for Brooks, when it was kind of his turn, we prayed Deuteronomy 31:6 over him, right? Be strong and courageous. Mm. Do not be afraid, for God goes with you. And I think it's interesting. You don't know your kids before they're
yeah.
born, but it's interesting to see how the things that you've prayed for them play out and remain a prayer for the rest of their lives that
that's
we
good.
Just kind of knew. Even though I think there's so many hopes and prayers
yeah,
I have
sure,
them, and,
sure.
and those will evolve over time, right?
Sure.
Especially the world we live in. I think there's a lot of prayers I pray
yeah,
that I didn't know
sure,
I'd be praying.
New prayers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
New prayers. Yeah.
yeah.
Prayers. Do you remember what we prayed over Harper?
I'm going to mess this
test
up.
You.
I think, that she'd be fierce.
Yeah.
Right? That she would.
You got this.
Fierce.
Full
of grace, and then something about her confidence in herself. What was it?
That she would know how loved she is.
No, okay, well, yeah. no, all right.
I remember
no.
praying.
And
when she.
Well, at least you
way
know
to go,
this
way
is
to go,
real.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah fierce, we didn't practice.
Yeah,
that.
Fierce,
full of grace, and that she would know that she's deeply loved.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
even in the womb, I was praying, like, I pray she would know even now that she's
yeah.
so deeply loved.
It's really good.
And that obviously she would grow up to know and love the Lord.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's good. Yeah. All right, last question. And so we hope for your kids. As we kind of
flips.
Yeah, another flip of the notebook. All right, as we kind of round out the pod, what's your hope for moms listening to this conversation today?
I think a big one, and we've touched on it quite a bit throughout this podcast, but just the pivotal role that all women in the body of Christ play.
Mm.
That you are mothering yourself at times, you can mother your sisters in Christ. At times, you mother any child that's in your orbit, whether you're a small group leader, an aunt, a best friend of someone with kids, a godmother, a grandma. You know, there are just so many mothering roles you can take on within the body of Christ, even if you're not a mom
yeah,
yourself.
That's good. You said it earlier, but I want to come back to it because I was like, oh, mothers of the church.
Mm-hmm. Church
I love
moms.
Yeah, I love that though.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
we mentioned Heather earlier, but like
yeah.
when Julie and the kids come to the 11 o'clock service
mm-hmm.
and they usually get here on like 10:15, which is honestly amazing, babe, that you can that you do that. But
she should get a cupcake every Sunday.
She should
I literally
get a cupcake
like
every
I should
Sunday.
Get a round of applause every
you
time
should.
I walk into this
honestly,
church
it's funny.
With 4 kids.
You
yeah,
should,
so.
Yeah, you should also should get your own parking spot. Julie's like,
oh,
every, yeah.
oh my gosh, ask about it every week.
Yeah,
I'm like, where's my parking
yeah.
spot?
The pastors don't get them around here, but she was like, what about me? I'm like, honestly, I think people would go for that. She's like, you don't need one, but I would take one. But they race to the green room. And Heather, sweet Heather, she always puts breakfast aside for you guys
mm-hmm.
so it never runs out. And then they beeline straight to her.
Yeah.
And they hang out with her. They get their sugar fix for the whole week from all
they
the little
so
treats.
So much candy. Yeah.
Layla just sits in Heather's lap.
Mm-hmm.
And they a lot of times they love wobbling up street. But some Sundays, saying that they're going to go hang out with Miss Heather is what gets them to church.
Every Sunday.
So again, I think about mothers of the Heather, if you're
here.
Listening. Our kids, we love you. But again,
thank
that's
you,
that.
Heather. Yeah.
The church is full of, you know,
right.
church moms.
But there's a lot of church moms who may not realize the role that they could
yes.
play.
That's good.
I think
that's
it's
good.
Like a tradition that we've maybe lost in some ways because women in the church don't even realize that there are so many opportunities
yeah.
to do
that. I don't put you on the spot. Why do you think that? I don't know. Why do you think that is? Like, I don't know.
Amanda has given an idea.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh,
yeah. yeah. No, like, she's thinking something.
But you guys know me. I always have thoughts on
yeah.
on most
things.
I just think that as over time, right, we look back and we just have lost even the idea of a village.
Yeah,
and that was so different. It was so inherent and so built in. We couldn't not have a village,
right,
really, and survive. And so I think as that drops off, just the more like individual we get, and not isolated, but we kind of just section ourselves off,
yeah,
and forget the impact that we have,
yeah,
and can have, and that it's so easy. It's not, you know, you're not committing to 10 hours a week, you know,
right,
you're
right.
Just, yeah, who can, yeah, I pray for today,
right,
you know,
right. Yeah,
and
good.
Or who can I offer to watch their kids or just talk to about something or share something vulnerable,
yeah,
I think is part
good.
Of it. Yeah.
All right. So, well, what about you then? What is your, what's
yeah,
your
I mean, I think about, you know, you started this talking about maybe the men that are listening too. And I think maybe my answer is just for literally everyone is that, and it, this is my church answer, so I think a prize.
Yeah.
But I think just the power of prayer is so insane to me. And I look back over, you know, the 7 years that I've been a mom, and I think about the prayers that I've prayed for us, for our kids, for our community. You know, I have prayed, you know, every time we've moved, I've prayed about our neighbors, you know, like,
yeah,
we have an impending move and I'm going to start praying about our neighbors.
Good.
And to see that come true is wild, right? To intentionally pray for community and to end up with my best friends, you know, is wild. Mm-hmm. And I think remembering it's not always going to be instantaneous, but like God is for sure listening. Mm-hmm. And I think too, thinking about knowing the things that other people have prayed for us and have said to us, this is what I'm praying for you. You know, I mentioned my great aunt every year. She said, I'm praying for who your kid's teacher will be.
Oh,
like,
wow,
before
that's
the
cool.
start of school.
Yeah.
She used to be, you know, a teacher in elementary school. And so she will pray every year for my kids that they will have good teachers that love them and that just honor the person that they are. And we have just been very lucky,
yeah,
you know, so
awesome.
Far, you know. And
yeah.
so you start to say, like, wow, like, there are people who are investing. My grandmother was that kind of person that would just pray every night for her grandkids. And so I think, you know, we just have such an awesome responsibility for this next generation, like, obviously as their parents. Mm-hmm. But I have just as much a responsibility, I think, to your kids as I do to my own, right?
Good.
Like,
that's good.
How selfish of me would it be to not pray for your kids?
Wow. That's
good. And for the things that I know that are your hopes and dreams for your kids, like,
yeah.
we've got 10 people who are so close. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
How cool is it that we get that many people praying for our kids?
Right.
Mm.
That's awesome.
And so just remembering, like, that's so powerful and God is listening and you know, what a gift we've been given.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
That's all my questions. Hey, that was awesome. Thank you. And just to both of you, I know the moms that you are, and you guys are doing an incredible job. Julie, thank you for everything that you do. Amanda, you're an incredible mom. I'm grateful to know the both of you. And to any mom listening, happy Mother's Day. We want you to know that we love you. We see you. You are doing an incredible work. And honestly, this church is behind you. And I hope this conversation encouraged you. I hope it awakened maybe even something inside of you I don't know, what could be next in this season as you continue to look down the road of motherhood. So love y'all. Love all of you. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. And if you're listening after, I hope it was awesome. And love y'all. See everybody soon.
Yeah.